Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and here we are on this Monday morning to encourage you. Joining me this Monday morning is the one, the only, yes, the man who has more hair on his face than his head, by choice, John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Also joining us this morning is the producer of BFN Radio program, the one who puts it all together, the one whose face melts every time I say we need to do one more thing. Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Praise God. Good Monday morning, listeners. We're so excited about all of our audience members in the virtual stadium, as from all around the world, you're joining us. I just want to give a shout out this morning to you as we busted 4,000 just in our Facebook audience alone this weekend. We're so excited to see that our 4,000 plus likes have come in over there. We're so glad to have you guys sitting with us. We're looking forward to our next goal of 5,000. Then 10, then 100, and then we're going to turn the heart of this nation, because you're downloading our app, you're watching us at BFNTV.com. So many wonderful things are taking place as we're carrying on this conversation about hope. I'm excited! Are you?
Good morning!
Good morning. Welcome, Lauren. Welcome, Melinda. Welcome, Steve. Welcome, Gary, Bill, Kevin, Russell, Stephanie, Abby, David, Lewis, Aaron, Ray, Teresa, Sandra, Michael, Jason, Grant, Lynn, on and on and on. Welcome to the BFN virtual audience. We're so glad to have you joining us. Give a shout out this morning to Houston. Good morning, Houston. Want you to know this morning, Sharon, our prayers go out to you. This morning, we love you. We're standing with you. Good morning, Renee. And good morning, Marjane. You are listening to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How else would I be, right? I'm just wonderful.
I'm glad to hear it.
Are you glad? Are you glad? Are you glad to hear it?
Yes.
No, he's a talker. He does talk. He's a talker.
I tell you what I am excited about this morning. And, you know, we don't have to dog out the Saints in front of Pat today, because they actually did something yesterday. They did something.
The who? Oh, the Saints, yes.
I saw that.
I saw not only was their wins, not only was Drew Brees' hairline receding, but it looked like their winnings were receding. But he saved the day, and he was doing interviews and all that, and he's not wearing the Saints shirt today, so it must be in the washing machine.
It's over there.
That was my next question. Did he break out Old Faithful?
He broke out. Well, it's probably, you know, Old Crusty, probably in the washing machine somewhere. Lord have mercy. Of course, also joining us this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I knew the Saints were going to do it.
No.
Nobody even watched him yesterday, probably. It's like he had like the audience of ratings of one. That was his mama. No, there's Saints fans will watch the Saints play.
Yes, they will.
Even if they have to wear a bag to do it, they will look for the crack in a bag. Oh, what a wonderful weekend. I'm telling you, it was so encouraging to see all the things that God is doing, all the hope. And I'll tell you what, you know, if you listen to VFN Radio, and you're going to get perspective with VFN Radio and watch VFN TV, you're going to get truth. But you know, we're told to cheer up, mm-hmm. even in the midst of great difficulty and circumstances. Because guess what? We've overcome the world already mm-hmm. in Jesus Christ. We're working from a place of success, not for success. Somebody says, "Well, how can you be so cheerful?" And it's like, I won already. Right. You know,
hello.
Yeah, we got our ring already. We don't have to wait for the Super Bowl mm-hmm. to happen. We already got a ring.
That's right. And so
we're just trying to help you get one if mm-hmm. you don't know Jesus Christ yet. And you can. And you can do that. You can enjoy. I mean, we're broken in our hearts about the condition. I mean, you're talking about a broken man. You know, I've been a broken man over the condition of the church and over the condition mm-hmm. of America. And your heart could be weeping. And at the same time, you can have the joy of the Lord. Not necessarily you're talking about like happiness. You're like giddy and stuff like that necessarily. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't walk around. You can have a balance of the two. And at some point, you know, you've got to lift your head up to the Lord and just say, you know, despite what's taking place, I'm just going to rejoice in the Lord.
That's right.
And it's important. Because a merry heart does good like medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even go to the VFN Torch and click on good medicine.
Yeah.
And the reason why we have that there is because you need some laughs every now and then. And right. although we might not try to be funny, people say that we are sometimes. And maybe there's something there that can kind of give you some good medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right. It's good right. stuff.
just search saints and, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure saints or, you know, Pat's Limousine and Kleenexes or something.
And tournament.
Into it, yeah. Actually, that's broadcasting on a television network as we speak. By the way, they're listening to Tournament.
Are they?
Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Tournament.
I heard wrestling last night.
Wrestling?
That,
did
yeah.
you really?
It was wrestling.
Must have been some sort of amen. Well, you know, I do want to say that. I can never figure out what was the word that
oh, you don't know. You remember that?
I can never remember the word.
I forgot.
Let me help you.
Oh, okay.
Interpretate.
Oh, interpretate. It's just so hard for me to interpretate that, you know, and so I'm just wrestling with the whole idea, but thank God I'm not in a tournament about it or whatever it is. Right? Well, I just want to encourage this morning that you know, coming to VFN TV this week, and you've got to see VFN TV, is The Accuser.
Oh,
learning to live with the accuser. It'll be available for you on VFN TV this week. And it's so important. It's so important because if you had to have a job description, if you had to have a job description for Satan, it would be the accuser of the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And if you write it out, you know, what's your objectives of your job? Well, I want to accuse people. I want to just accuse them day and night.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does day and night.
Yeah.
And he does several things. You know, he accuses others to us. And all this, in the middle of nowhere, just all of a sudden this accusation happens. And that's a fiery dart that he talks about, that Paul talks about when he's talking to the church of Ephesus. He says, you know, this fiery dart of accusation. I mean, this whole spelt out. And it's amazing. You look at people, you're like, oh, my goodness, you know. And then he accuses you to others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're just walking along having a good day, and all of a sudden you bump into somebody who has like 15 darts sticking out their head,
mm-hmm.
fiery darts of accusations, and you look at them and their face contorts, and you're thinking like, do you even know me?
Right. Right.
those are arrows in your head. Those are fiery darts. Your face. What happened to your face?
Looking like a porcupine.
Yeah, looking like a, exactly, you know, mm-hmm. And then not only accuses others to us and us to others, he accuses God to us.
Mm.
You know, he'll accuse God and saying, you know, start saying things about God and talking for God and thus says God and all this kind of stuff. And their accusations, accusing God, if God thinks that way, or if God's thoughts aren't good towards you and that he doesn't love you and all these lies. You blew it now, Pat.
Yeah. It's all over.
It is all over. And
pack it up.
Mm-hmm. And then he accuses God to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't love me. You know, all I have is $1 million and he's got $2 million. We're living in the top percent, 3% of the world. Mm. We should have more in America. And we're the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. God, you don't care about God bless America. It's like, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's so loving and kind. He says, I'll just be merciful there. You know?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, right. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, God, you owe me something. You know, and he's accusing God to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then he accuses you to God. He appears before the throne of God, according to Job, book of Job in chapter 1. He's, you know, the angels just decided to appear before the throne of God, and he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we, you know, God's awesome, and he's so outside of our box in regards to what we would think. It's like, didn't you get fired? Didn't I shoot you down to heaven with right. a fiery yeah. lightning bolt? You know, what are you doing here?
Exactly.
What are you doing here? And he says, you know, I've just been kind of strolling, wondering back and forth on the face of the earth, seeing who, you know, I can devour.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, the word devil means one who gets in between and divides. And then God says, well, have you considered John? No, that's Job, not John. What are you talking about?
That's right. Get that right.
Have you considered Job? You can imagine Job. If Job was there like, what's up? You know,
what's up?
You know, I've been honoring you. And think about it. There wasn't a more righteous man. I mean, in regards to loving God, wanting to do what's right. You know, most people weren't. Job is the oldest book in the Bible, by the way. And so he was wanting to do right. Well, other people aren't even necessarily considering God.
Don't even have the desire.
Yeah, I don't even have the desire. And those are the ones judging you for how badly you're trying to walk with God.
Right.
And so then... You know, the Job's comforter dudes. And so...
So basically, you put the ruler for me, but that same ruler doesn't apply to you. I don't get that.
Yeah, right. And so, if Job was there, and the accuser is talking, you know, to God, this is what he talks about in, you know, Job chapter 1, and he says, well, you know, where you been? And he says, I've been roaming the earth. Why is he roaming the earth? Because he got cast out of heaven. That's where he is down here. Revelation, Jesus says that I see you down there where Satan has his throne. You know, mm-hmm. Satan tells Jesus when he's going through the temptations in the desert, in the wilderness, you know, he says, bow down and worship me and I'll give you a stimulus package. I mean, bow down and worship me. Do what I want you to do. Bow down to the socialism idolatry here. Bow down to it. Mm-hmm. And I will give you these kingdoms because they were given to me and I'll give them to you. Jesus didn't say, liar.
Mm-hmm.
He just said no. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Adam and Eve gave Satan the keys to the earth, the authority.
Right.
Right.
They surrendered the fall of man. That's what happened. But we got it back through Jesus, but now there's a battle going on. And so you can imagine, you know, being there. At the throne room of God, you're going, yes, I'm here to worship the Lord, and yes, I love him, and everything's wonderful. Look at these angels. Wow, look how big they are and how they honor God. How does Satan get in here?
Right,
what's exactly. Lucifer doing in here? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure God's going to deal with him. Have you considered Job? What are you doing? Oh, my goodness. Why would you bring me up? Oh, my goodness. You know?
Mm-hmm. Did you just mention my name?
He's been wondering, looking for people. He didn't even know I existed, and you're bringing me up.
Right, right.
I thought you loved me, right? I thought you loved me.
I thought we were down.
Yeah, I thought we were down. He goes, I love you so much. I'm so confident in you.
Mm.
I am so confident in you. I am going to destroy everything you have. I'm going to take your family from you where your kids won't even want anything. They'll die. I will take your business from you so you'll starve. I'll take your health from you so that you will be broken. I will take everything from you except for Job's comforter and a wife who's against you. You need to leave her there because she's going to speak against you and tell you to say, why don't you just curse God and die? Oh, baby, I just wanted a cup of coffee today. I really didn't want that kind of counsel. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, there's people who's like, I was hoping you would encourage me. Like, just cast God and die. Like, why? No, God's faithful. God is good. Mm-hmm. And so he told the accuser, have you considered him?
Mm.
And of course, at that point, he put a protective hedge around Job. He put a protective hedge around him and said, go for it.
Yeah.
And in one day, I mean, like one day, the accuser went to work. The accuser went to work in one day. You talk about, and I think it's maybe Revelation 11, maybe, or where a nation falls in a day.
In a day.
In a day. And Job's world fell in a day. I mean, if you had, I'm just texting, emailing stuff. It's like, you know, you got to hurry up and shut it off in a hurry on a day like that. It's like, they're coming in. Bloop, bloop, bloop. All these beeping messages and this instant messaging. And you hear this little beeping sound and stuff. And if he was texting, this is what it would be like. He's sitting there, you know, thank you, God. He's abiding with the Lord. Everything's going great. And all of a sudden, he gets a message, a text message. And he looks at, this didn't happen. We're talking about what it would be like today. And the text message says, you've lost your business. Everything that you had, everything you worked for, you know, he was in the herding sheep and all that. He was a wealthy man. Mm. He lost all of his wealth in a day.
Wow.
And they just kind of like abbreviate it, like slash dot colon dead. Business is like,
they say an image of flame.
They didn't even think enough about you to spell it out. They just kind of like slash dot die. Yeah. And so you're kind of like Googling these things. What does that mean? What does that abbreviation mean? And then you think, oh my, it's just over. Oh, I can't believe this. You know, I'm serving God and now I lost my business, my money, my wealth. And then you think it's just, you think that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're bloop, another text comes in and you think, well, maybe I didn't lose it. Maybe I didn't lose my business. Maybe something happened. And so then he looks back at his cell phone again, where he gets his text messages. This is just an analogy, what it would be like today. And he looks at it thinking there's going to be a mistake. Obviously, that first slash dot die message was a lie or wrong or something. So, and he looks and he goes, children, dead, dot slash com. This is like, oh my goodness, you know? It's just like they're coming in. Mm-hmm. They're coming in. What's that thing flying through the air? That's his cell phone. You know, he's like, that's a deliverer of very bad news, you know?
Right.
And then if it couldn't get any worse than that, you know, all of a sudden, this is the accuser. I'm talking about the accuser. He's working now. He's working nonstop. Boom, boom, boom. God's in control. God put a hedge around him. He said, you can touch everything but his life.
Mm-hmm.
Which, what it means this, that his kids wasn't his life. His business wasn't his life, and even his flesh wasn't even his life, because the next thing you know, he came back from a doctor's visit and he didn't know how the thing was going to come out or not, and he gets a text message from the doctor. This is an analogy, obviously, you know, the oldest book in the Bible, they didn't have tags.
Right.
And the text says, we found a growth. And it appears that on your epidermis, that's skin, Pat, that he's Googling it. it's your biggest organ in your body, by the way, epidermis. And for you, it could be, it's the brain, but for me, it's just my skin.
Right.
He's turning, his eyes rolling in his head.
He's like, right.
Yeah,
sure, huh?
Yeah, and Lightning's laughing over here. And so,
Lightning?
Yeah, Lightning. That's right. I was wrestling over that, but I think Lightning's better. And then he gets a text message from the doc, and the doc says, it looks like you're going to have, your skin's going to start having boils on it. These sores are going to start appearing on your skin.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's like, let me get this straight. And so he scrolls through all of his text messages. I lost my business.
Mm.
I lost my children. And now I'm going to lose my health.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy. Yeah.
And it's like, and there's a reason.
In a day.
In a day. And we haven't finished yet. And so then, you know, it is amazing that this God brought him up.
Mm-hmm.
We got to break this American mindset off of us listen, this whole thing is about you and God. Quit looking at you, identifying yourself by your reflection in another man's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Think about yourself in the eyes of God. You're going to spend, it's live for eternity, because you're going to have to anyway. Mm-hmm. Live for eternity and quit worrying about what other people think about you. The Pharisees were always going like, well, you know, we'd like to really kill Jesus now, but the people would think, oh, we'd like to do Jesus in now, but the people would think that we'd like to say that he's a false prophet, but the people think he's the true. You know, it's like they're always, that's a religious spirit when you're thinking about what other people think. Why Jesus is going, hello, what do you think about me? And the woman, you know, Mary falls at his feet, who was a prostitute, and busts an alabaster box and pours it over his feet. And he goes, this is awesome. And she wasn't worried about all the Pharisees and Sadducees who were going, do you know, I know who she is. I know who she is. You know, I remember John back then.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Greg. I know who Greg is. Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is to be at the feet of Jesus and busting the alabaster box? Right?
That's right.
And Jesus says, oh, my goodness, this is beautiful. She's anointed me for this, my burial, and that this will be told of her as a, it just had nothing to do with anybody other than her.
That's
and
right.
God. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about her today in a good way. And we're talking about the Pharisees, and by the way, and so here he is, you know, all these things are happening to him, and God loves Job. God loves Job, and he's going through stuff. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? In this life, you're going to have troubles. In this life, the accuser may accuse you day in day. I mean, he will, but he will begin to accuse you to others, others to you, God to you, you to God, but also he'll accuse you to yourself.
Right.
Which is some of the biggest accusations to come over. And so here he is, you know, his children are dead, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
His business is dead. He's poor. He has no more money for health care. So his flesh is not, it'd be great probably if his flesh was dead, but instead it's sick. So now his flesh is causing him pain.
Right.
And so now he has this illness, and his only health care plan is to go by the dump and get some pottery and begin to scrape his boils. I mean, this is a man of God. This is a man who God was aware of on the face of the earth, and Satan wasn't until God brought him up.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so then you think it's over now. I mean, my goodness. You know, I'm sure at least, you know, my wife's going to stand with me. I mean, she's right there with me, and she's going to understand that this is the accuser and this is what's going on. And all of a sudden you got a special tone for your wife when she texts you, and it kind of goes, you know, your favorite song that reminds you of your anniversary comes on, and, you know, and I'm sure without John picking it up, he's just oohing and aahing over the aspect of the beautiful woman. Teresa.
I was going to ask you, what was your tone?
It's all ding for me. Only because I don't know how to get different ones. I get tired of them. Ones. I'm trying, right? I'm trying.
I've heard some stuff.
If I hear that laugh one more time, I got a laughing ringtone. It's like, oh, gosh. I don't want to hear any more laughter anymore. It just keeps going. I got so many things we have to do. It's like, it's like terrible. So then his text from his wife said, oh, finally, my wife texts me. You know, this is going to be great. I'm going to read this. It's going to be encouraging. You know, he sits back. He leans his head back on a large piece of pottery, puts down his medical plan, which is clay pieces of stuff he's scraping the bowls with. He tries to shake the memory of the loss of his family and shake the memory of the loss of his wealth. And he looks at the phone and he sees what his wife texts him. And she says, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it. I married you for your money. You don't have any.
Right.
You know, it was your decision. If you wouldn't have been serving God, the kids wouldn't be going through all this. And now they're dead.
Mm.
And then she says, you know, I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of it. Just curse God and die. Get this thing over with. And he's going like, is this like the Job phone? I mean, what's going on right here, you know?
Wow.
Job text. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And it's like, even my wife told me to curse God and die. And I'm like, I'm trying to live for God. And now my wife is even being used as the accuser. Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
This is amazing. It's like prior to God bringing him up, this wasn't happening. Satan didn't know he was around.
Wow.
John, do you want us to ask God to bring you up? you know, and understand that this is a love affair between Job and God, and God is showing himself to Job, and Job is showing his love to God, and there's much loss and trouble and difficulty, and it's sort of like when in Hosea chapter 2, when you're going through all these losses and all these things that God's allowing, turning you over to, and then all of a sudden you lost everything, and then he says, then I'll begin to whisper in your ear.
Mm.
And then I'll begin to restore to you what you lost. And we'll talk more about that in a moment, because you know what? He had three friends. He had three friends that was on his, called a circle of friends. You know, the free calling plan, you can put them on your, you can call anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys said, I just need to go encourage Job. I need to go explain to him why he is in the condition he's in, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Like, there has to be a reason for this. There has to be an explanation. I'm sure.
And they're going to come up with it, man, because they heard some latest thing on their, on TVN or something.
Yeah, right.
Lord help us.
Did you just get this from a 4-point in a farewell? Anyway, so then they come and they begin to tell him, this is your problem, Joe. Right? And they shoot a text. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was just praying for you today. Okay. And I had a word of knowledge. I think I'm supposed to take this knife and just kind of shove it into your heart. Does that help any? How about that? Does that help? And the other one basically says, you know, text him, I think what you're supposed to do is go find somebody that they can actually stab you in the back. I mean, the things that they were doing was just like even more ruthless.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's coming against them. Then all of a sudden, Job loses it. And we would have lost it. You know, I'm not
long time ago.
I mean, Americans lose it when they lose a dime on their hourly paycheck.
At the point that the Kleenex fell at the carpet.
Yeah. I know it, dude. It's like a horse's skin just goes, like the fly lands on the skin. It kind of jerks. And his eyebrow goes way up here.
Kind
of fills in his hairline. Anyway, so but yet when all this was taking place, he was on God's mind.
Mm.
I mean, everything appeared to be going wrong, but all of heaven was leaning over the banister of heaven, looking down, and God was looking down because he knew who Job was, and Job loses it. He loses it. You know what he says? I wish I was never born.
Mm.
Why should I have such a miserable life, and what's going on? And he started talking about, you know, I've been living for you, and it's up to that point, everything's been okay.
Mm.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, you hear this voice, the same voice that said, had you considered him? Said, hold on a minute.
Is it back up now?
Back up. And it's like, that is, in the logical sense, in the carnal nature, in the way the world thinks, and don't go this way, you would think, that is so unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But God, I mean, what's fair? Hanging on the cross?
Ooh, what's fair?
Is that fair? This is a love affair. That's what fair is. This is our only chance to be able to show him that we love him. If everything's going good and we love him, that's what the pagans do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to give somebody a stimulus package and they'll be your best friend. He gave me a cell phone. I'm going to vote for him. He gave me a cell phone. It's crazy.
And it's like, crazy.
Are you serious? Is that the whole
depth? Is that all it takes?
Is that the depth,
cell phones for everybody?
Is that the depth
on.
Of your understanding of the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the depth that took place to be able to bring you to the place that you could have one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. And so the Lord puts things into perspective. I gave you air. I let you live. I put the sun in place. I put the stars in place. I am in control here. I'm holding everything together. And everything has its being by me.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I want you to do, I want you to pray for your enemies. Right?
That's right.
Pray for the ones that messed you over.
Because
up to now, I could have done this thing, right? But it's really cool. I mean, seriously, bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. And with that, you're being the son of God. That's a son. Those are sons of God.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, if you're not worried about your life or losing anything, it's not a big deal. You really want people to be blessed. I mean, Moses had a great perspective of it when Miriam was dogging him out and she got leprosy and God was so upset. He says, you know, I should just spit on her. right?
Right.
And he's going, no, please, please, don't let this happen to her. He was interceding between, you know, God and Miriam, and it's all God wants, is somebody to intercede.
That's right.
Mm. And intercede for your enemies. Intercede for those that have been used by the adversary to do you in. It'll really free you up, by the way. And it could save them. It could set them free, because what, as Joseph said it, he said, you know, what you meant for evil, and which means that's a genuine, authentic evil intention, even evil motive, God meant for good.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that yeah, Satan meant evil towards Job, and all these comforters and whatever's going on, they were bringing negative things to him, meant evil towards him. But understand this, God was all in it. From the very right. time when he said, have you considered John? I mean, have you considered Pat?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, brace yourself.
Here it goes.
And I really think that we're hearing something right now where God is saying, have you considered America? Have you considered the church in America?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, America's got some pride going on. The church, because we got some pride going on. We kind of went our own way in some things. But yet at the same time, we're proclaiming a relationship with him and a love for him.
Mm-hmm.
And our love's about to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're willing to go through the test, if we're willing to go through the trials, if we understand that even though God's said, have you considered America? Have you considered him, her? That God loves you. God has a plan for your life. If you called Nineveh a great city, don't you understand he calls America a great nation?
Mm.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. Nineveh was a mess. And he still can be in love and is in love with the people of America. And if we'll go through the process and we'll begin to pray for those and understand this, that you know, politics is an idea and a concept, and it's a way that we choose our leaders. But God expects us to pray for those in authority over us and to bless them so that you have a peaceful life.
Mm-hmm.
And don't speak words of hatred and craziness about our leaders. I mean, you can speak truth. I mean, the First Amendment allows us to speak truth, and those in leadership are there because they spoke truth to get there, or spoke what their perception of truth is. But you can honor them at the same time.
That's right.
Don't buy in to the carnal nature of man. Still line up with the ways of God, and realize this, that God will forgive us of our sin and break generational curses in our life, the sins of our father, when we repent. But understand this too, that if in fact we turn our backs on him, and if we choose to go our own way, the sins of our fathers that he forgave us from and that he freed us from will revisit us. He said, I'll remember them no more. I'll remember none of your good works, none of it. And so if you just look at American history, it should humble you. And I can hear these cries. I can hear the cry of the brokenness. I can hear the pain of our past. I can hear the aching of our reality just on the other side of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I can hear the ignorance of those who deny its reality, that it wasn't the sins of our father. And they're listening to somebody just talk about the pain and talk about the byproduct and the reason why, you know, 70% of African American children are born out of wedlock in a fatherless home. But you know, it wasn't always that way. If you look back in history, you know, Americans bought him and sold him and ripped him away from the family and established a stronghold over that family. They sold their great great grandfather and created an environment where the father wasn't there. And we're trying to work our way out of that, which means to give us more compassion to say, I can work with you and love you where you are on the way to where you're going. I'm not going to expect you to be something that you've never had.
Right.
And try to be that for you. And the church can do that. But I'm saying that because I just heard so many people watch a video of our president prior to him being a president. He was senator, and they called it a racist video. And it's like, you know, there's some theology that was crazy. I mean, there's some other things that were crazy, but the history wasn't crazy.
That's right.
The history wasn't crazy. It was just talking about a bullet still being in somebody's arm. The pain's still there. The bullet wasn't taken out. Mm-hmm. You know, the pain is there. Mm-hmm. And I'm still limping because of my reality. And part of healing means hearing me and saying that is your reality. But if you just shut me down and I got to somehow have to figure this thing out. And when he's saying you have to be there for a particular people group who don't yet have those role models, that's not negative. That's saying, listen, that's what you got to do to somebody that you damaged and they didn't have that in their culture or that people group. And I just didn't see racism in it. I just saw the sins of our fathers, you know, saying you better be compassionate. But then I saw a whole bunch of people respond totally different to that, who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, you know, loyal Americans and all this kind of stuff, and conservatives. And it's like, you know, you can acknowledge truth at the same time you could say, but that theology's whack, you know, that it's being used in the wrong way. But what they're talking about, what he's talking about, is a reality.
Right.
It's a reality, and it's not going to be good if we don't, you know, deal with that. And so with that, you know, here Job begins to pray for his enemies. And we begin to have to pray for those who are really trying to destroy our nation, those who are trying to destroy maybe your marriage or destroy your family, whatever it is. Just pray for them, earnestly pray for them and bless them and let God handle them. When you do that, God begins to handle them. When Job did this, it's sort of like Hosea chapter 2. He says, after all these losses and all this stuff, he says, I'm going to begin to restore to you a little at a time, a little bit of here, a little bit there. And he says, and then I'm going to whisper in your ear and I'm going to remind you of who I am to you. And then he says, you'll no longer call me your boss, but you'll call me your husband. An intimate relationship develops after great loss. And understanding, I believe that America is about to go through that transition. But if we start cursing our enemies instead of loving our enemies, if we start blaming God set men to bring discipline and get our attention, if we don't pray for America's comforters, Job's comforters, then it's not going to come out well. Mm-hmm. But if we do go through this process and understand it, that God began to restore to Job 7 times what he lost, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. 7 times. 7 times everything he lost. What does that mean? That means if we will go through this rightly, as God reminds us of who he is, Satan has nothing on us other than what his father filtered, what God is allowing to take place. And if you look around, we need some discipline. We need to get back. And if you've been ministering long enough, you know that people right now are hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and think following God is an option. Discipleship is a great idea, but not necessary. That the church really is an institution, an orphanage. You just got to let them do everything for you. That not only can you abort your natural children, but you can abort the spiritual children that are born in the kingdom of God. Not only do you not want to have natural children in your own personal life, but you don't want to have these children born into the kingdom of God because they demand so much from you and you know, all that.
Right.
We need some correction. Mm. We need some correction, and we need to get back into perspective again. If we'll walk through this and trusting God and blessing those who curse us and praying for those to despitefully use us, understand that God will restore to us sevenfold what we lost. Sevenfold. Mm. But we have to understand he's God and we're not. Mm-hmm. He's the one that brought us up.
Right.
And now, through all this process of loss and pain, and we find out who we are on the inside. We find out who we really are. You find out who a man is when he's going through struggle and trouble. And the real us comes out. And so God only reveals it to heal it. And so when it does come out, we just say, God, take it from my life. I don't want to be that person. I don't want that in my life. And I just want to encourage you this morning that you might have gotten a text or you got a call or an email. You might have showed up to work and you found out you got a transition package.
Hmm.
You're thinking, you know, your job. You can buy groceries with that. You feed your kids with that. You pay your house or your rent or your power. I mean, things are changing. Things are rocking for you. You have, you know, marriages breaking up specifically. You know, we're knowing of people saying, listen, you need to find someone else because you're demanding too much from me in this economy that does not give to my demands. We're finding kids that are just walking away from men, parents who serve God and just running in the world and just dying to the world like the prodigals who fell in love with the world and running off. And all these losses are taking place. But understand, if you hold on and don't listen to the counsel of the comforters who think they know everything, just trust God. Love them. Have empathy. Understand that they're being used to bring harm to you or harm to America, they're held captive to do Satan's will. So we have to actually gently instruct them and pray for them in hopes that God would grant them repentance and that they would turn around. But if they're God set, man, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. And that's not going to be good. But I do want to say this, that in regards to understanding the accuser, make sure that you go to VFN TV and watch The Accuser, Learning to Live with the Accuser. Somebody says, I can't believe you would talk about that. Well, we're down here where he has his throne.
Mm-hmm.
He accuses us day in and day out. We got to understand this dude. We cannot be naive of his shrewd, not only lies, but father of lie concepts to be able to accuse us and accuse others and accuse God. But listen, you're going to be so encouraged. And with everything inside of everything on VFN TV, it's available to you I guess you call it a discussion. And it helps you go deeper in your understanding, gives you a few scriptures of what it's about. But also, it gives you a chance to be able to share with your friends that you can watch it together. And it gives you some things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something really unique about VFN TV. But it's called The Accuser, Learning to Live with the Accuser. No, I am not talking about a person in your family. We're talking about the enemy of the person in your family and the enemy of all human beings who are made in the image and likeness of God, Satan, the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah.
So cheer up. Understand that if we walk through this, we're looking at a sevenfold increase. We'll be right back.
Wow.
You know, I think about that. Promise keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Wow.
And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love, and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. In the first hour, joining me is Pat and John.
Well, here we are. You know, what a wonderful reminder, looking at Job's life and looking at the journey and all that. Look at that dance. I mean, he's like dancing. John's got it going on, huh?
Pat told me everything I know.
I hadn't seen the moonwalk in so long. I just well, you know, one of the words the Lord laid on my heart, by the way, the Hugo Chavez won his office. Surprise, surprise. Nothing like cannon is pointing at your people.
Oh, my God, no.
And he was like, I wonder if I'm going to win or not. Really? Really? You know, and he's
Do you actually think that we believe that you won?
Well, you know, he's doing it through stimulus packages. Hmm. He's giving people stuff and things.
Yeah.
And he's maintained. He took over all the oil companies. He took over General Motors. I'm like, oh my goodness. He took over the bank. No, what's the bank? No, I'm talking about Venezuela. Oh my goodness.
Help him out, Pat. Plug him up. What's
my
going
goodness.
On battery wearing down.
It seems like, you know, remember when they first, when President Barack Obama became president and they went and, Hugo Chavez, and he met at this gathering and stuff, and he came out, he says, "Listen, I want to give you my book." He walks over and gives him his book, and pats him. He says, "We're friends." And he said, "This is what he said recently in an interview." Chavez said, "The dictator." He said, "I truly believe. Well, I know for a fact if I was under the leadership of President Barack Obama, I would vote for him." And I truly believe that if he was under my leadership, basically, in Venezuela, mm-hmm. that he would vote for me. And he's saying, and what you're looking at is socialism, all mm-hmm. that whole concept. Mm-hmm. And when you come to think about it, it all started when Hugo Chavez took over
BP, I believe it is.
Yeah, the oil companies and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And...
No, I'm sorry, it's not BP.
No, it's not.
No, it's one of those gas companies. I think it's a Citgo or something like that.
Yeah, Citgo.
Yeah, Citgo. The C stands for Chavez oil. and that's how it happens. Government begins to take over businesses. Then they say, you know, we can redistribute. Oh, my goodness. Redistribute the money and we can do it better. And pretty soon, we'll always be president because we're the ones controlling the finance. And the... Oh, ooh. It looks like people with these mechanisms of tyrannical leadership, no matter how passive it is, mm-hmm. is a way of exchanging faith in God for faith in socialism, believing that mm-hmm. government is going to take care of us versus God. It's the old SOS message, is it not? You got That's to it. Go to VFN TV. And see SOS, A Tale of Two Kings, because that's the very thing that's facing the church. Well, the world's going to buy in. We're not, and this is not to the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the church is not supposed to be like the world. You know, we're not going we shouldn't buy into that. Well, you know, speaking about God's news behind the news, as we're talking about, continuing to talk about Chavez, and bigger than that is the drone that was flying over Israel.
Yes. Hello. My goodness. I saw that Saturday, I believe it was. Where an unmanned drone was shot down by Israel because it was flying over the zone.
Pause for a minute. Think about this. You know, don't play around with Israel. Can you imagine like you're whistling yourself walking across the border? I'm going to do them in. It's like, you're going to look just like that drone.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what Iran's going to. If you mess with Israel, I mean, that was that something? You see it where it shot and then the plane... It just went straight up, and then the wings caught the pressure of the wind and then pushed itself back up. I'm thinking that, I mean, you got to be a good flyer in aircraft to be able to defend such a small piece of land. I mean, you can't mm-hmm. fly 20,000 miles. I mean, you got 60 miles at its widest. You got to shoot. You got to be able to throw your stick up, I guess, and your That's flaps it. Down, and you got to be able to stop yourself before you end up in Jordan or something, you know?
Right.
Exactly. Don't mess that day. They were sending a signal. You even peep over these borders. It's over for you.
It wasn't like ting. It was like kashaboom, you know? It was like, oh, my goodness.
It's called shock and awe. Watch now.
I mean, Israel's so small. Just go stand on the mountain and look over. I mean, you don't have to send a drone over.
Exactly.
It's exactly. very small. Right. I can't believe it. That was nothing but provoking Israel. And, of course, Israel had a good chance to explain how they will respond mm-hmm. with that. When you think about Hamas, understand this is the distant, disconnected, but truly connected, alleged military arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm. So when you hear that this allegedly this drone mm-hmm. was sent by Hamas in Lebanon, everybody's looking at Iran, not understanding that Iran's supporting Hamas in Lebanon, which is right. Lebanon, just so you know that, Iran, imagine your body's Israel, that and you're laying down, and you're looking straight up to the stars. Well, your left arm would be Jordan, and your left arm would be Iran, but Lebanon would be your hair! I mean, they just sent a drone from your hair. Over yeah. you. I mean, it'd be your head, over your head, because it's at the head of Israel. And how horrific that is. And it was that's Iran feeds in, and the Muslim Brotherhood allegedly is their military arm where they're using to come. So everybody disassociates these things. It's like, no, it's all tied together. First of all, as Christians, we know that it's second heaven, no matter what they call it. You know, right. you don't wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, principalities, and spiritual darkness. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 6:12. It manifests through the way men do it and their own perceptions, because they have their own authorities and they can do different mm-hmm. things. But the big thing is, you know, that Hamas is sending this drone. I mean, oh my goodness, that was like, and this is the word the Lord gave me early on was, I believe that the first time that Israel has to fire one shot,
yeah,
one shot, because of what we did, that's it. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's it. And that one shot with the Hamas being the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, funded by Iran, all Islamic, empowered by our president, when he went over, allegedly empowered by our president, when he went over and spoke to the Muslim Brotherhood and empowered them in Egypt, but now they're all over the place, and that's who's trying to take power in Syria. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, the show that, you know, let's roll. That was it.
Yeah.
The second they had to shoot that drone down, and drones are not, these are not like little model airplanes.
Right.
We're fighting wars with these drones, that they're loaded guns and weapons and cameras, and I mean, it could be a nuclear warhead on a drone. People mm-hmm. are waiting for rockets. It's like, no, it could be a little small drone. They're not really small, but it could be a drone. They have small ones too. They could be flying with a nuclear warhead right over you, or some sort of electromagnetic
EMP,
or some sort of biological weapons, which are right there in Syria, the largest stockpile, right. and they could have released it right over Israel at that very moment. Mm-hmm. This is serious stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we empowered them. Our leadership empowered them over there. Understand this, that in Ezra, and we'll talk more about this in the extra hour, he says the reason why this is all happening is because we've sinned. Mm. That God's people, we've sinned.
Right.
And he talks about that... the reason why these pagans rule over you and rule over your kings and rule over your priests is because you've sinned. And this is not going to stop until we repent.
Right.
Mm. It's like playing uncle with God. Listen, he's going to win.
That's right.
He's going to win. So we're coming to the end of the first hour. We're going to continue this conversation in just a few moments. If you want to join us, we'll see you on the other side. If you can't, catch us on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app on your mobile device. God bless. VFN Radio.